First Timothy tonight. First Timothy, chapter number 6, and verse 12. Of course, Timothy is written to Timothy. Timothy is a pastoral epistle. It's an epistle written about the church. It gives us an insight into the ministry. And there are some great insights here to the ministry. Many of you today in this place are, your life is all about the ministry. And we have some great insights in this passage, in this book, about what the ministry is all about. And I hope that that is your heart. You know, you don't have to be called to full-time work to understand the ministry. But you do have to have a heart for God and a heart for the Lord's work. And there's great truths here. I think that there is a benefit in being raised in a pastor's home. I wasn't raised in a pastor's home, so everything about the ministry is brand new to me. And really never had a mentor in my life. But it was interesting, one of the deacons interviewing Micah today at BCM said, Michael, you know, what are you planning on doing? And he says, well, God's called me to the ministry. And he asked him a very significant question. He said, do you have any reservations about that? Have any reservations about going in the ministry? And Micah said, no. And he said, he says, well, you know, you're in a pastor's home. You see the disappointments of the ministry. You see people that many times you spend the most amount of time with and pray with the most. Just go their own way and turn away. Have seen those things all through your life. Has that put a bad taste in any place in your heart for the ministry? And Micah said, no. Because, you know, those are real parts of the ministry. Those are real parts of the ministry. Those are realities. And we come to reality of the ministry in this verse that I think is important for us to think about. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we find a great a couple of verses here that talk about the walk of a minister of Jesus Christ. It gives us specific commandments about to the preacher concerning his life and his ministry. Obviously, these are some insights into the ministry. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. This word fight is the word agnizomai. We get the word agony from it. You know, what is agony? You know, agony, from an athletic standpoint, okay? Agony from an athletic standpoint, and that's the word here, is talking about the pain that is associated with the requirement to give more effort. It's the state of the athletic contest in which a person has no more strength left, and they have to give more. They have to give more, and I'm not sure if I would wrestle again if I was. Went through it again. I'm not sure there's some issues there. But wrestling is one of those sports that requires every single the use of every single muscle in your body and is the greatest drain on all a person's strength. And I can remember being in, Mr. Knippel was a wrestler, do you know it? He wrestled at 103, can you believe that? You probably thought he wrestled heavyweight, but I bet you he'd be a pretty good one, too. But anyway, but you know what? Agony is when there are, even being in tip-top shape, there is 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes left in the match. And your muscles hurt so bad. You don't know if you can move them anymore. If you don't know if you can squeeze them anymore. You don't know if you can hold on anymore. You don't know that. But you're going through complete agony. And this is the word that the Bible is using here of fighting the good fight. Fighting the good fight. It talks about the ministry as being a contest. There's a contest in which there is a foe, and there is a victory to be won, and there is a prize to seek after. And he says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. One of the greatest challenges is to fight the good fight of faith. How would I put it in other terms? And I think that lay people know this. Because you know what? Most people, sad to say, give up. That's why the mega churches are full. They got a bunch of people who gave up the fight. They waved the white flag of surrender, and they said, I'm tired of fighting sin. I'm tired of fighting the world. I'm tired of fighting my flesh. I'm just going to take it easy. Remember a great man of God, G. Archer Winnegar. He was the president of our seminary. And he was a great battler for the Lord. And in history, he he published the blueprint. He was the man, the bad guy, who published all the real facts about Billy Graham, because his son-in-law worked for Billy Graham and knew everything that was going on. And his son-in-law would send his uncle all the info of what was going on in the Billy Graham evangelistic crusade, all the compromise, all the lies, and he'd send them to his uncle, and he'd start publishing these things so people would know the facts. And Archer Winninger was the bad guy because he was telling the truth, and he wanted everybody to know the truth. He published the blueprint and sent it all across America. Well, when I got to seminary, Dr. Archer was in his 60s, and he was the pastor of Foothills Baptist Church. And they had moved out of Oakland because of there weren't any white people left in Oakland anymore. They moved to the valley, and so he pastored Foothill Baptist Church, number two, you might say. And when I got out there, I was shocked. I was shocked. Because the church I went to, the principal of the school used to be his principal. And I lived at the house of the folks that were great friends with the principal. And the principal and his family would go to the movies. You know, I thought, what's going on here? I mean, this is supposed to be fundamentalism. This is supposed to be the heart of fundamentalism. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the fellows said to Dr. Winninger, says, what about personal separation? Oh, he's preaching about ecclesiastical separation. What about personal separation? He said, hope to quote him correctly. He said, I just got tired of fighting. I just got tired of fighting for what was right. Because there's a fight. And if you're in the pew, you might be one of those persons that says, you know, why can't we just have it a little easier? You know, why can't Pastor just let down a little bit? You know, why does he have to be so right-wing about dress, and then he's got to be right-wing about music, and then he's got to be right-wing about alcohol, and he's got to be right-wing about TV, and right-wing about dating, and right-wing about you name it. Why can't he just let up? When do you stop letting up? When do you stop? Where do you stop? Now, just as I think about that, just let me ask you, if you are one of those young people, if you're one of those young people, you're one of those people that would like things to just be let up a little bit. You see, the ministry is a fight. It's a contest. There's a battle out there. There's a battle. There's spiritual forces. There's the devil. There is our flesh. There is the weakness of man. There is ignorance. You know, Brother Ola is starting a real church. He doesn't have an influx of Baptists that are coming to him and saying start a church. He's starting off with people from every walk of life. And I'm sure that for much of them it's like, oh man. And you know, a church really hasn't really become a church The church really has never become a church until the people have matured enough to say, yep, we're against drinking, teetotal. We're against the wrong kind of stuff on TV, total. We're against the wrong kind of music, total. We're against immodest, total. We're against blah, 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 you know, and it comes from the people. When it comes from the people, not just the pastor trying to lead the people. That's when a church becomes mature. And you know, really, that's when a church now is ready to start other churches. That's when a church is ready to start other churches. Because now it can reproduce churches after a biblical manner, not after a human manner. Not filled with half Bible and half American lifestyle or American Christianity. And I think that is a part of what is the ministry. You see, what is the ministry? The ministry has to do with a goal. It has to do with a vision. It has to do with a pattern, a fulfillment of a biblical pattern in the lives of the people. You know, there's lots of illustrations of that. I remember the day we had church down at the house, and it was between Sunday school and church, and two of the leading men in the church were discussing right there, and this was their personalities, they were discussing why they didn't believe in tithing. Well, I tell you what, we didn't have anybody in our church that was raised in a Christian home except Brother Raines. And so you have these people, sorry to say, these two fellows thought they knew it all. They were saved, and they thought they knew it all. And so right there in public, they're telling why they didn't believe in tithing. Oh, boy. You know what? A real church doesn't take 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years to start. You know, it takes about probably 20, maybe 25. You know, Brother Al, you know, once in a while, Brother Al, he doesn't ever use names, but Brother Al, once in a while, he'll come up to me. He hasn't done this for a while. He says, Pastor, oh boy. He says, you know, we got people in our church who've been saved a long time, and they still don't tithe. They still don't tithe. They're saved, but they're still babies in the Lord. Babies in the Lord. You see, there's this contest that requires a person never to tire. Never to tire, in the sense, never to give up. Never to stop giving that continuous, all-out, agonizing effort. Had a good conversation with Sarah, and love the Olas, and it's tough for Brother Ola. He hasn't been to Bible college. He hasn't been to Bible college, but you know, and that makes him feel inadequate. You know, it makes him feel inadequate. But you know, the Lord is putting him through Bible college right now, and you know, just like all of us. We always want it a little easier, don't we? But you know, we need it a little bit hard sometimes. We need it a little bit hard. We need it so that we have to have we have to live beyond our ability. So we have to trust the Lord. But here we find this great thing. Fight the good fight of faith. Let's look at a couple verses. Philippians chapter 3. Let's think of it personally. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Here is the Apostle Paul. He says, what is his goal? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Does it look like he's agonizing in the contest? Does it sound like that he's putting all his effort that he can to go forward? Yep. You know what? That's what the Christian life is all about. It's agonizing effort to go forward. It doesn't sound like the Christian life is a life of coasting. But that's American Christianity, isn't it? That's American Christianity. Just coast along. You know, just have this high, nice, happy little life. No. There's this pressing forward. That requires more than we have. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. Here's a great verse. 2 Timothy is talking about the last days. And what does it take in the last days to stand for what's right? What does it take? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not talking about personal ability. It's not talking about personality. It's talking about the supernatural ability that there is in Christ Jesus. You know, if you aren't pressing toward the mark, if you don't have a goal, if you're not in the race, if you're not in the contest, guess what? You will only work at a level that is comfortable. But with a goal in a contest, to win the contest, to be victorious in the contest, to win the battle, to do the will of God, it's going to require more than we have. And when we are seeking to do what God wants, it always requires more than what we have. And what is that? What is the formula? The formula is not to let down the goal, not to let down the vision, not to compromise the Bible, but to rise to higher ground and find God's grace to do the right thing. God's grace is supernatural ability and strength that is available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. My grace is sufficient for thee. Apostle Paul talks about life as a contest, as a battle. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. For now I'm ready to be offered, and in the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. Now let me ask you a question. I'm not into boxing, I guarantee you. I'm not into that. Somehow, that just never was part of me. Wrestling was one thing, but hitting people, I don't know, I really never could do that. My my mom never let us hit one another. She didn't let us do that. And but, you know, if you were in a boxing match, I dare you to let your fist out. Just let them hang. Boom. You're over. Right? You know, the minute you stop fighting, you're over. When do you stop fighting? Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. You wouldn't say somebody fought a good fight, you know, if they're in the middle of a fight, you know, and they just drop their gloves. You wouldn't say they fought a good fight, would you? No. And it's one thing. It's one thing to start out. It's one thing to start out. I mean, you can start off, but tell you what, a few minutes into the fight, if you're out of gas, you're in trouble, aren't you? And a lot of people run out of gas. The battle gets too strong. The requirements are beyond their ability. And they give up. You know, dads give up. Dads give up. Husbands give up. You know, husbands, they give up. Some husbands never started. You know, that's the fact. They never started. They never got into the contest for God. They never got involved in the contest of raising their kids for God. They never got involved in the contest of getting rid of sin out of their house. They never got involved in the contest of raising their kids with the heart for God. They never got involved. They're not in a fight. But you know, it's easy to give up on the fight. You know, the fight doesn't get necessarily easier. Sometimes it gets harder. And you know, us dads, we like to give up. You know, we get tired of saying, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. You say, you know, I get tired of it. And I get wimpy. And I give up sometimes, you know. And I should be saying, no! Dads need to know how to say no. When you say no, all of a sudden you get disappointed looks, don't you? And sometimes there's more than that, disappointed looks. There has to be some fight in life to do the right thing. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. You know, it doesn't, and of course, you know what, mothers have to have energy in them too. Because it's all day long, isn't it? You know, correct this, correct that, correct this, teach this, do that. Don't go escape! Run to the room, escape. There's no escape. Life goes on, doesn't it? So what is the ministry? He says the ministry is a contest. 1 Corinthians 9. What did he say? Verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you, knowing not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached others, I myself should be a castaway. There's a fight, isn't there? A fight against sin. A fight against the flesh. A fight against the world. There is a fight. I wonder, do you have a vision? Is your vision limited by your human thinking? Your vision limited by the secular, liberal thinking of our society and our day? Or have we gotten a vision for what's right from the Bible? Do you have the spirit of a man of God? Fighting for the truth. Or do you have within you a fighting against the truth? Do you have fight in you? You have something that you have. You're in the contest for the Lord. Contest for souls. Contest for truth. Contest for the glory of God. A contest for the Lord saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." A contest. And a contest requires agony. It's an effort, an energy. Continuous. It's an effort that is beyond our personal ability because it's a spiritual body, a spiritual battle. Many people today have given up the fight. You know, a couple years ago, I had lost the vision for kind of like keeping up our house. You know, it's an old house, and it always needs more repair. And, you know, I kind of got the attitude, forget it. You know, forget it. I'm tired of working on this place. I don't have any more energy. I'm not young like I used to be. I don't care. Ask my family that. They're like, "Whoa, what happened to that?" And then I bought my wife this double oven. I tried to be nice to her once. and so I got this thing, and I started looking at this kitchen. I said, "Where am I going to put this thing?" And so I called up Tim Keller. "Hey, I need some help." And I had my mind, you know, spending maybe $1,200. And he says, "I'm unemployed, you know. Come on. You know, you don't have to pay me much." Oh, I says, "Well, that sounds pretty good." He came up. He started drawing these plans. You know, and then... He would come and say, "You know, we need to do this." Oh boy, you know. And then he says, "You know," and he says, "You know, you really need to have a granite countertop for your work." And I says, "No way, no way. Formica is fine, you know." And et cetera, et cetera, you know. And you know, he had this vision of what he wanted this kitchen to look like. And then, you know, he says, "Pastor Ron, you know what? You ought to do this. And you know, this is what we could do over here in this part of the house. And this is what we could do in this part of the house." And you know, it rubbed off a little bit. Yeah, it rubbed off. I'm glad he's not around right now. it rubbed off. You know what? He still had a bunch of energy. He still had a vision for excellence. He could still see what it needed to be. And I was just thinking, I'd think, well, man, you know, when I'm dead, they're just going to burn this thing down and bulldoze it over, and big deal, you know. He is a man who had some vision. But that's what we need spiritually. We need vision of what it ought to be. We ought not to be a part of the crowd that wants to fight against truth and fight against excellence and take the easy road and be a part of this world. That's the problem with the ministry today. Preachers have stopped fighting. They've stopped being in the battle for the truth. They stopped being in the battle for what's right. They stopped being in the battle for the Bible. And they're willing to settle for people's opinions. Worldly people. Immature people. Carnal people even. They raise up a little stink about something they don't understand because they're not right with God. Okay, okay, okay. Fight the good fight. You know, this church needs a bunch of people like that. Fighting the good fight. Fighting for the truth. Thirsting for the truth of God's word. Wanting the truth. What is the truth? Let's find it out. Let's study it. Let's stand for it. Let's live it. You know, this church needs young people. This church needs young people that say, you know what? We want to go out and we want to start churches just like this one all around the world. That's what we need. That's God's plan. Churches that are going to go against the grain and do what's right. We need families like that. Where mom and dad say, hey, this is the way it's going to be. And this is where we're going. That's what we need. Fight the good fight. Sometimes we get tired. That means we need to get back into God's word. Sometimes it means we need to start rubbing shoulders with the right kind of people once again. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. You got to start rubbing shoulders with people who got a vision for the Lord and got some fight in them, got some energy in them. Some good words for Timothy. Discouraging days were coming ahead. The great Apostle Paul would soon be thrown into prison and have his life taken from him. He's going to be deserted by most of his friends. It's going to seem like there's only a few standing for the truth. Timothy was going to have to, all on his own now, be one who fought a good fight. We need to fight the fight in love. But we need to keep fighting the fight. We need to have the right spirit. We need to have faith. We need to have love. But we need to get a vision for what's right. And that's what Timothy needed, the instruction that he needed, if he is going to be the right kind of pastor. I'm wondering, have you given up? You've given up, oh, you know what, it's a lot so-called easier just to do nothing, to quit standing for what's right, just to compromise, to fit in the crowd, get away from the criticism of the world and the ungodly and the scoffers. Oh, that's easy. But just remember, it's the same thing as someone that's in a fight and dropped their gloves. They're ready to get beat up real bad. They're ready to lose the fight. And we need to ask God to give us the vision and the energy not to be discouraged by the failures, not be to give up by the because of the disappointments, not to quit because we're so idealistic that we figure everything should happen just overnight. We need to keep on for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this instruction, for we all get weary in life. And we get weary, for the Lord, the fight isn't getting easier. It seems like the fight is just, the contest is expanding on more sides as more and more of the truth and the Word of God is being given up because of the culture and of the times. And so, Lord, I pray that you would raise up, Lord, a whole new generation of young men who want to stand for the truth. We want to be able to stand before God and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We want to be faithful to the Word of God. I pray that, Lord, that those of us who've been in the battle for many years, we will not grow weary. But that, Lord, that you would reinvigorate us with the love and the joy of serving you and trusting you. I pray for those that are young in the battle, that Lord, that Lord, they would be strong, that is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I pray that Lord, that fathers, mothers, will not give up personally nor in their leadership of spiritual effort, the battle against sin in the world creeping into their home. Lord, I pray for teenagers that instead of being a part of the problem, fighting truth and fighting standards and fighting righteousness, that Lord, they would become men of God, people of God, servants of God, usable in these last days. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe the Lord is speaking to you tonight about rededicating yourself to the task. Rededicating yourself to the task. Yourself to the personal battle, contest of your own soul. And say, you know, there's some things I need in my life that I'm going to keep going for the Lord. Letting God work in your life. Perhaps as a church member, you ought to switch sides. You ought to switch sides from being stubborn and resisting to be a person who's saying, who's cheering on, encouraging, exhorting one another to do the will of God. God is speaking to your heart tonight. Maybe you're a young preacher, and God is trying to work in your heart, give you a vision for the ministry, what it's going to take. It's going to take some real agony, isn't it? It's going to take agony that is painful. You're going to have to keep going when it hurts, but you're going to have to find your strength in the Lord. And God is speaking to your heart tonight. Say, Pastor, I know the Lord has spoken my heart. Maybe you're here and need to rededicate yourself to the task of the Christian life, or the leadership of your home, or doing the work of God in this church. And you say, God has spoken my heart about getting back in a contest for the Lord. Or reinvesting yourself, rededicating yourself further in that contest. Just by uplifted hand, say, Pastor, I know the Lord's speaking to my heart. I've kind of lost heart. I've kind of lost energy. And God's spoken to your heart. You want to rededicate yourself tonight to that? Just lift up your hand. Okay? Some have already raised their hand. Thank God for those, even tonight. God has spoken to your heart. Amen. Amen. Others, God is speaking to you about that reinvesting of your life. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Maybe you've never gotten into contest. I wonder if you could be saved and not have entered the contest. I don't know. But I wonder. God is convicting you about being on the sidelines. And you need to give yourself, submit yourself to being God's servant. Maybe God is speaking to your heart tonight. Perhaps you're here tonight to say, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. Pastor, pray for me. Would you just lift up your hand right now? Say, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. God is speaking to your heart. Okay, I see that little hand. Anyone else? Okay, let's have an invitation, Mr. Raines. Father, we thank you now for this opportunity to have this invitation. We pray for those who've raised their hand. And Lord, you know what it means. And more than that, Lord, we pray that the heart and the spirit of your word would certainly fill their minds and their heart about what it means to live for you in these last days and what it means to be a part of the ministry. And so, Lord, may you work. And Lord, many times we hear so many messages, we make so many decisions, we forgot about the decision we made 2 minutes ago. Lord, this is a great truth. We would seek you that you'd grab a hold of our hearts in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.